You are very welcome along to this Ella Magazine podcast with myself, Jenny Butler. As always, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by email. It's ellamagazine@outlook.com. You can get in touch and say hello on Twitter at Ella Magazine, or indeed by searching for Ella Magazine on Facebook. Ella is spelled E-I-L-E. Now, this podcast is a very special edition focusing on Vancouver, which is in beautiful British Columbia in Canada. If you have never been to Vancouver, it is a spectacular city. I had the privilege of living there for some time, and I can promise you that as a holiday destination, it will not disappoint. I went back recently, just as the Pride season was kicking off, and I spoke to Ray Lam, who is the general manager of the Vancouver Pride Festival, about the history of Pride in Vancouver and what visitors can expect if they're going to be in Vancouver for Pride this year.
Vancouver Pride started 35 years ago. It started off the first 3 years. It wasn't actually a parade, it was a march. And it was a march to demand equality and rights in Vancouver. And it's grown substantially since then. We're in our 35th year now, and last year we had a turnout of 650,000 people, over 650,000 people. And this year, the city's actually taken the extra step of recognizing Vancouver Pride as a civic parade. So there's only three civic events in Vancouver. There's the Celebration of Lights, which is the international fireworks competition. There's the Grey Cup. And there's Remembrance Day. So Vancouver Pride is one of the new additions to that, as well as the Chinese New Year Parade and the Vasaki Parade. So it's a huge win for us, and it just shows that Vancouver Pride is integral to the city and to the infrastructure of the city. It's integral to the cultural diversity of the city, and it's a huge parade. Our festival reaches about 150,000 people, and the parade, in the report that the city put out just 3 weeks ago, proposing that we receive civic status, they stated that we were the fifth largest pride parade in the world, which is huge. So there's a lot of reason for us to still march and still have a parade. And a lot of the times when people are in larger cities like Vancouver, Toronto, New York, San Francisco, they often think, well, Pride's just a huge party. But this year, and actually every year, we try to bring an international flavor to Vancouver Pride to show that, yeah, it's great in Vancouver, but does that actually mean it's great in Canada or the rest of BC or the world? And the answer is absolutely not. Again, we're celebrating our 35th anniversary, but one of our grand marshals this year is from Brockville, Ontario, which is a small city with about 22,000 people. It's wedged in between three or four other military towns, so it's very, very conservative. And they started their pride 2 years ago with 500 people coming out. And then last year it was 700 people, and this year it's 1,000 people coming out. But it really shows why Pride is still relevant and important. Brockville Pride started when a member of their community took their own life because of intolerance and ignorance in the community, and that really brought people together. And first year they organized it, there was a lot of resistance. Second year they organized it, the city unanimously recognized Brockville Pride as a civic event. And then this year, amazingly enough, stores in the downtown Brockville area started putting up rainbow flags and started celebrating Pride. So it's a parade, yes, but the parade gives us visibility, and the visibility gives us a lot more power in the community. So Brandon's coming out this year, Brandon Timmerman. He created the event 2 years ago, and another example is our other Grand Marshal from Montenegro. He came out 3 or 4 years ago, and when he first came out, the local papers all called him the first publicly gay out man in Montenegro. That was 4 or 5 years ago, and today they still recognize him as the only out publicly gay man in Montenegro. So there's still a lot of work to be done, like as far as Montenegro and as close as Brockville. And another example is Abbotsford Pride. They founded the first Pride Parade this year after 3 years of holding marches. And the first year that they tried to organize a Pride Parade, the community was so against it that they actually had to cancel it the week of. So again, Vancouver Pride is very fortunate to be in the position that we're in to celebrate 35 years of Pride, but we need to recognize that an hour drive out of the city is a completely different story.
It's the same, I guess, in Ireland, to draw a parallel with that we have Dublin Pride, and there are other prides around, like there's Waterford Pride and Limerick Pride, and there are other kind of city prides around, but still, in relation to what you said, it's very important, I think, for people to be able to recognise that there are people who can't, go out and march and who can't do that. So that's still kind of relevant in exactly what you said, and it's wonderful that Vancouver can do that. In terms of, like, say, an Irish person coming to Vancouver for Vancouver Pride and has never been here and doesn't know what to expect, and obviously the scale of it is going to be completely different, but what can somebody expect, your average Irish person coming over to Vancouver Pride? What can they expect this year?
They can expect a lot more diversity and variety in our events. We've added a significant amount of new events targeting communities that have historically been disenfranchised. Because when you think about Pride, a lot of people think about gay Pride. And when you, even in Vancouver, when you look at the media, they don't call it the Pride Parade. A lot of the local media call it the Gay Pride Parade. And we need to remember that G is only one letter in the LGBTTIQQ community. And we need to be respectful of that. So this year, we've added a musical to the Vancouver Pride lineup. So we have more arts and culture. We added a trans and genderqueer event. We've partnered with the Trans and Genderqueer Celebration and Liberation March to help them fund a after party so that after their march, they can continue celebrating throughout the night. We've partnered with Genderfest, an organization that puts on events for genderqueer and gender variant people. And we're helping them with their festival as well. We're helping the Vancouver Front Runners to ensure that there's a sporting component to Pride as well, because that's really the last big barrier that we're facing in the community, getting into sports. And we've had a lot of great wins this year with Jason Collins coming out and the other out gay man with LA Galaxy. There's only been 4 Major League Soccer teams that have taken on the challenge of organizing a Pride night, and Vancouver's among those groups, and we're very fortunate to have them coming out. But again, it's all about including people and broadening our event. So the street party this year as well, on the Friday night of Pride, is going to have a free community block. So a lot of our events that are ticketed are including free components as well. And during Pride weekend, we've also added an after party at Ginger 62, a local bar. And that allows us to offer a low-cost alternative. There needs to be something for people to celebrate during Pride. We can't just say, well, if you can't afford a $150 ticket, you go home or go to a house party. So we created this event, and it's a $10 ticket. It's the most affordable event during Pride night. So that's another addition. And we have a seniors event, and we have a youth event. So we really do have an event for everyone this year.
I also spoke to Christopher Hunt, a.k.a. Simone Says, Entertainment Coordinator for Vancouver Pride, about all of the fantastic events that are part of Vancouver Pride this year.
First, I just want to give a big shout out to all of my friends and family in Ireland. I have a few friends and, well, some family that I don't quite know about. But hello, everybody. Yeah, I'm Christopher Hunt, also known as Simone Says, one of Vancouver's local drag superstars. And I'm fortunate enough this year to be the entertainment coordinator and consultant for Pride. So I book all of the lovely talent that we have on the stage, from great DJs to some of the superstars. And this year, it's the 35th anniversary, so we thought we'd go big on the main stage. And we have Miss Deborah Cox, recording artist, who's also Canadian. I wanted the focus to be Canadian this year. So we have Deborah coming out to do our main stage to perform in front of 200,000 people. We didn't stop there, because for you RuPaul's Drag Race fans, we have the winner of this year's RuPaul's Drag Race. We have Jinx Monsoon, and she's coming out to do our street party Friday night. So if you're thinking about coming up to Vancouver, you don't want to miss this Pride. This is going to be our biggest one ever. Pride is like, we call it Queer Christmas. And so this year I'm hosting and I've produced the Queentastic event, which is Gay Day at the P&E. So you can see the drag queens perform, drink, and throw up on themselves after they get off the roller coasters. I'm also hosting the main stage, so I'll be introducing Miss Deborah Cox. I will be hosting part of the street party as well. And just running around the city, probably on rollerblades, because it's a weekend-long party that I have to be in so many places at so many different times. So you'll see this queen on rollerblades. Let's just say it would be an Irish Pride parade on steroids. And so we get almost 1 million people downtown. They give us a conservative number, but we know that it's almost 1 million people that we have. And you bring comfortable shoes, you bring water, you bring a sense of humor and a big smile, and you will not want to miss this year.
The Pride festivities aren't all based in the downtown Vancouver area. I went along to Eastside Pride, which is a celebration of all things queer on the downtown East Side, hosted by the fabulous Peach Cobbler. The event was held in Grandview Park, which is just off Commercial Drive, which is a bustling, bohemian, arts-rich area. Local artisans, community organisations and performers got together for this event, which marks the start of the Pride season. I caught up with Peach Cobbler to find out more.
Eastside Pride is part of the general Vancouver Pride, but it happens about a month before the rest of the events in the East Vancouver community, which is a slightly different area than the downtown core, where we have a lot of the other Pride events. And this event in particular is really focused on family. It's an all-ages event. We encourage people to bring their kids, bring their dogs. It's outdoor. There's no booze. So it's sort of like it's a really fun, family-friendly, exciting, sunny party to get us in the spirit for the drunken debauchery that will inevitably happen a month from now. My kind of drag, it tends to be a bit crass, some might argue. I think it's fabulous, but I do a lot of hip-hop. So as you can imagine, at an all-ages event, you think, hip-hop, maybe not the right lyrical content. But nonetheless, I sort of look through my songbook and see what I can come up with that doesn't have too many F-bombs. And so that'll come up later in the show. And I myself host a bunch of Eastside drag events. And we've created quite the fun drag community here on the Eastside. Now, my Dublin connection, I was actually in Dublin last year for the Dublin Gay Theatre Festival because as a boy, I'm a playwright, and I wrote a show called My Funny Valentine that a company called Theatre Outre from Canada brought over to Dublin, and I was lucky enough to fly over and see opening night and meet Jay Whitehead, the artistic director of the company who was performing my show, and just had such a blast seeing the sights, meeting some of the amazing drag queens that Dublin has to offer, falling in love with Panty Bar, and just being shown a wonderful Irish time, and it was very painful for me to leave because I felt like the week had gone by far too quickly. So I'm constantly looking for a reason to come join you sexy Irishmen again.
Backstage, singer Natasha Burnett was about to take to the stage, and I managed to take a few minutes of her time to see how excited she was about performing at Eastside Pride.
Quite excited. It's the first time I've been here. So I am just taking it all in, just getting ready to go and perform.
And what are you going to be performing today?
I'll be doing a Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody, Alicia Keys, If I Ain't Got You, and Beyonce, Single Ladies.
And if you want to get in touch with you or find out a little bit more about you, is there a way to do that?
Yes, of course. You can go to my Facebook page, which is Natasha Burnett, and also at Twitter with @NatashaBurnett.
There are many reasons to love being part of the queer community in Vancouver, but you simply cannot ignore the love the city's LGBTQ community has for its drag performers. Drag queens and drag kings not only entertain their fans, but they contribute in an enormous way to community organisations and charities. $3 Bill are a renowned drag king troupe in Vancouver. Buster Cherry, Luke Wolf and T are affectionately known as granddaddies of drag, and their love for what they do shines through in their performances. I spoke to T to find out how the troupe was formed and why it is important for drag artists in Vancouver to give back to the community and support charities. What can you tell me about the troupe?
Well, we were formed probably about 10 years ago, and it's just through friends. The original members were Buster Cherry, Luke Wolf and myself, T. And we've been doing shows around Vancouver ever since we got together.
And your own involvement with Pride, you've been heavily involved with Pride, and you're also an emperor, as well as Buster Cherry. And so in terms of the charity work, because I know that's a huge thing here for the emperors and all the kind of, the regal system to do here. What can you tell me a little bit about that and what your involvement was with that as emperor and also as the Pride Marshal in Pride?
Being Pride Marshal was just announcing the floats as they came by, just so people had a little bit more to listen to. As the floats went by, and they got to know a bit more about them and what they stood for. As far as being emperor, Buster and I both did it about 7 years apart, and it's part of the Dogwood Monarchist Society. Basically, you get the position and you choose a charity that you feel passionate about, and then you fundraise for that charity for a year. You're basically a figurehead to the DMS, which is the Dogwood Monarchist Society, and they just kind of stand as a charitable foundation, and they take that money and they give it to the charities. So it just kind of brings awareness to the community, and I think just in the community in itself, we're very charitable. Many people are very charitable, I should say, and it's obviously a lot of importance is putting on giving back to your community, and in a community like this, everybody needs support, and everybody has, you know, a cause that they want you to help them out with, and so people respond to that, I think.
And speaking of drag kings, if you want to see some of the best kings and performers in Vancouver, you should most definitely check out Man Up. Man Up is actually a monthly run show in Vancouver, so no matter what time of year you're planning to make a trip to British Columbia, attending a Man Up show will most definitely be a highlight of your travels. The Man Up Pride show itself, Man Up the Pride Ride, is on August 2nd at the Cobalt, and you can find out more information and more details at their website, manupvancouver.com. Aside from drag, there are some fantastic works of theatre, music and art as part of the Vancouver Pride festivities, and indeed all year round. One of these is Eleanor Rigby, The Untold Whole Story, an interpretation of the life of the woman who is said to have inspired the Beatles song of the same name. Playwrights, composers and performers Lady Ray and Ty Lowe explain the reasons why they chose to explore the possible life story of Eleanor Rigby.
Eleanor Rigby is a story about a woman who in the 1940s in Wales basically discovers herself and learns to forgive herself. And it's a lesbian play written by women, for women, but not specifically just for lesbians. It's just more about acceptance, I guess.
Yeah, the whole show, the big message, I think, in the show is about forgiveness, acceptance of self, which is a struggle that every single gay person can relate to. I think that's why the show is so well received, because everybody can identify with it. We, just being lesbians, chose to write about the lesbian experience, which is also a new thing. You don't hear of many shows that have been written about lesbians and they're coming out and they're dealing with coming out. You can look at La Cage aux Folles for gay men, but we have nothing like that in musicals, which this is, for gay women.
To just tell you a little bit about how we decided to write this, one night we were kind of sitting around with a bunch of songs. Initially, we were a cover band at a bar, and it was Lady Ray and the Ty Lowe Trio. And we had all these songs, and we had no idea how we were going to put them all together. And we were sitting here, and it kind of just popped into our heads that, well, you know that song Eleanor Rigby by the Beatles? Well, they don't actually say anything about Eleanor Rigby. You know, they don't actually say anything about the woman herself. So why not make up her life? Because the only information that we could find about Eleanor Rigby on the internet was that, you know, she had a grave somewhere and the Beatles found it and wrote a song about her.
And the Beatles chose to make Eleanor Rigby loneliness personified, as we called it. And we thought, we're going to give her a much better life than that. So yeah, we gave Eleanor a really amazing life. And It incorporated, of course, our life experiences. It's our stories. It's coming from our own perspective in a way. We're both Eleanor. We're both Mafanwy. We're both Hamish. We're all of the characters in this story. And we've been able to take musical styles from every genre over the last literally 100 years and weave it together into one giant musical masterpiece, which is my favorite part.
So anybody visiting from Ireland to Vancouver Pride should definitely check it out. Where can they get tickets? Where can they find out more information?
Well, you can go to vancouverpride.ca, and then if you click on events, we're right there, and there's a link to our tickets. Or you can go to rayoflife.ca, and there's a page for Eleanor there as well.
Great, and that's raeoflife.ca,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, RAE, like a little ray of sunshine.
In this podcast, I am highlighting several events and performances, but it is important to note that these amazing events and talented people are but a few of what Vancouver has to offer, and an example of why, for me especially, Vancouver is such a fantastic city. One of the things I love most about Vancouver is the diverse, eclectic mix of people and the celebration of individual identity, which is encouraged by many events and organisations. Genderfest is one such event. A gender-diverse queer celebration in East Vancouver during Pride, celebrating people of all genders and founded on a philosophy of inclusion. It features several events, and I caught up with Genderfest organiser Miss P to find out more.
Genderfest is an all-genders festival that takes place in East Van, so that's in the east part of Vancouver, during Pride Week, which is in the middle of the summer. And it is for people of all genders to attend, and that includes people who are trans, genderqueer, questioning, two-spirited, and it can also include people who may not fall into the regular categories of LGBT. So that includes people who are allies to the community, people who are bisexual but often aren't represented in a lot of Pride events, and people who fall through the cracks of the LGBT alphabet soup. So people who may not expressly identify as one identity or another, but who still feel a connection to the queer community. Genderfest is a series of 6 events that takes place over 11 days. So the very first event is on July 25th, and that's our launch party. That's taking place at the Vancouver East Cultural Center, known as the Culch. The second event is the Genderfest Conference, which takes place at Britannia Community Center, and that's on Saturday, July 27th. The next event after that is the All Genders Clinic Wellness Meet and Greet. That'll probably be a picnic in the park type event, and that's on Monday, July 29th. There's an All Bodies Swim, which is a swim night that's organized by a collective that happens throughout the year. And they'll be doing one of their swims on the Tuesday night, July 30th. And then we have a live show on Saturday, August 3rd. That show in particular is going to have a few live acts, musicians, performers, singers, songwriters. And that show will be a fundraiser for the Sage Food Bank, which is a food bank that runs for people of all genders here in Vancouver year-round as well. And then we have the Unicorn Born Dance Party, which is a big dance party event that we throw on the Pride Sunday, and that's Sunday, August 4th. That's just a big DJ spinning, everyone dancing, and everyone having a few drinks, having a good time, and getting a little bit rowdy for Pride Sunday.
Why is it important to you specifically to organize something like gender?
To me, the reason that this is important is because there are so many people who fall outside of the main demographics of Pride. A lot of Pride events, in Vancouver at least, are organized for people who are specifically men into men or women into women. And that doesn't account for a lot of people who feel connections to the queer community and fall outside of the women for women or men for men demographics.
Vancouver's Pride Week begins on July 29th with the official proclamation to be made at City Hall by Mayor of Vancouver, Gregor Robertson. The days that follow look set to be an unmissable mix of parties, picnics and performances to help everyone embrace the spirit of Pride. The Davie Street Party on August 2nd is the perfect way to prepare for the official Vancouver Pride Parade on Sunday, August 4th, beginning at 12 p.m. from the intersection of Robson and Thurlow Street. If you are heading to Vancouver Pride, or indeed to any Pride event around the world, we here at Ella Magazine hope you have a wonderful time. And do let us know all the gossip. Email us at ellamagazine@outlook.com. Get in touch on Twitter at Ella Magazine, or on Facebook by searching for Ella Magazine. And remember, Ella is spelled E-I-L-E. I do hope you've enjoyed this Vancouver special. For Ella Magazine, I'm Jenny Butler. Thanks for listening. Keep well.